All right. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Good? Good. Looks like it started off rainy and gloomy, and now it's coming around, so that's nice. Okay, our announcements here this morning. If you pull out your pamphlet, I call this something different every week. There's a little piece of paper in there that talks about our upcoming workday for July 8th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. And so there's a bunch of different outside projects, inside projects. So anything that you think you might be helpful in doing, go ahead and plan to come on July 8th. Like I said, there's a lot of things to look over there. And then, so birthdays, we've got quite a few. And then we've got a couple anniversaries. We've got Joe Harvey, the 27th, Tom Beachy, which is the 29th. I'm going to mess up this last name, Jill Magulis, is that right? The 29th, Megan Beachy, July 1st. And then the anniversaries, we've got Dennis and Lisa Hart, July 1st. And we've got Justin and Jan Kalinowski, July 1st. And, yeah, we want to thank Bob last week for making those good biscuits and gravy. It smelled great. And, okay, anybody who has a key or who's had a key, the door locks have changed. So if you have one, it's not going to work anymore. So get in contact with Lou or Dennis to see about getting a new one. For the God Sees Her Women Ministry, Lori Toss Info is on there. You've got her email and her phone number as they meet Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 10:30. And I believe that's it. Oh, what's up, Bob? And no, I got one more because I know she.
I just want to thank you all that you're back in the hospital. I was a freshman, or a senior fourth grader in water on my lungs. And I thank God for all that you're doing.
Wow.
I'm going to be with me, and thank you for the thankful
business. Amen. Yeah. Okay, great. Okay, the other thing that I forgot. So the cleaning lady is out of town, or she will not be here this week. So if you're in here, just kind of be mindful to think about kind of cleaning up after yourself, all right? And yeah, okay, let's go ahead and say a prayer. And then I believe there's some sort of video after this. Okay. Dear God, we come to you in prayer. We thank you again, as always, every Sunday to just bring us back here and to allow us the opportunity to gather and to worship you and to hopefully come to know you better and to enrich our relationships amongst the body of Christ. We pray that your spirit would move through Pastor Mike, that you would be the words that he speaks, not just Mike, but any message going out this Sunday morning, God. We pray that across the nation that the church would be strengthened and people would come back to knowing you in a more true and intimate way, God. So we just pray that people would come to know the truth that you sent your son Jesus to die, to after living a perfect life, and to take on our sins, God, and that through faith in him that we can too be saved. And we just pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. We invite you to smile and stand.
Happiness is to know the Savior, living alive within His favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is a new creation, Jesus and me in close relation, having a part in His salvation. Happiness is the Lord. Real joy is mine, no matter if teardrops start. I've found the secret, it's Jesus in my heart. Happiness is to know the Savior living His favor, the thrill that leads to heaven. Happiness is the Lord. That'll make you smile. Happiness.
Why don't we just stop it?
Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone, nor the least of His children. Have faith in God, have faith in God, have faith in God. He is on His throne. Have faith in God, He watches over His own.
Our Father and Lord, we thank You for the rain that has been received. It may nourish the ground nourish us. For all good things come from You, and we thank You for that. And we pray that You would bless the tithes, the offerings, the gift, the giver. And we pray, Father, that it would further Your kingdom. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
just stand again?
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, set
Thank you, guys. If you have your Bible, turn over to Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read verses 18 through 20. That's, of course, the Great Commission. You probably have that already memorized, and that's good. But turn there anyway this morning. And I want to look at the back prayer list with you. There are many on there that needs a special touch, that's for sure. But I do want to draw your attention that Bob is here this morning, and the Lord was gracious to him and sucked all the water off of him. He's feeling light as a feather. He wanted to get up and dance a jig. Is that what? Not exactly. But nevertheless, he's feeling much better. That's good. And Tom, Brother Tom, is home, and he's feeling much better as well. And his daughters and those are caring for him. So we want to remember them especially. But also, I want to remember Grayson this morning. He's been really having a struggle this week with pain. We're not sure exactly all this is what it is. But he does have an appointment with the doctor this Tuesday. We're hoping that maybe he'll go and the doctor will recommend something that will alleviate that pain. So there are others on the list there, and you know them. You lift them up as I open us with prayer here before the sermon. Lord, thank you for the beautiful day. We needed the rain. The farmers needed the rain. Continue to be with us in as a nation, as a people, giving us what we need. Lord, answering the prayers. We pray for our president, Lord, to touch his heart, lift him up to you, and bring him unto yourself. Lord, I ask you to continue to be with Todd in a very special way. And Grayson this morning, I thank you for what you're doing in the Sylvester's lives. I pray, Father, you'll just continue to minister to them. We thank you for Tom and ask you to continue to be with him and his family. Brother Bob there, and pray, Father, that you will continue to work. Rick there, and we pray, Father, that you continue to be with him as he's looking to have more surgeries, I think. And I pray, Father, that you'll have all that needs to be taken care of there taken care of. Be with Bert's sister-in-law. Be with her in a special way. Lord, for the Beachy family, there's lots of things going on with Tom and his family and his dad. Pray, Father, you would just continue to work. Now be with us as we open your word. We want to have you speak to us this morning. Draw us to your throne of grace. Teach us, strengthen us. Help us to leave this place today by saying it was good to be in your house with your people, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Starting in verse 18 in Matthew 28, Jesus said, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." I've been looking at basic sermon principles as to what the Bible's teaching about those things that we might call maybe the fundamentals of the faith, the basics, reviewing those for us. And our series on that, we looked back at the biblical idea that primarily, the first thing is that God is. Isaiah 44 tells us, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and to the redeemed, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no other." So those that come to the Lord must come to him believing that he is. There's only one God. There are no other gods, period. Almost every Old Testament god that we deal with and understand were pantheistic, meaning multiple gods, many gods. That's not uncommon in the world that we have. There are all kinds of quote-unquote religious groups and peoples, and their idea of God is multiple gods. But the Bible says there's only one God. Back in the Old Testament, there was Baal, Baalism, Ashtaroth. There were all kinds of false gods. The Canaanites had multiple gods. And both of these, and all of these, worshipped, and their worship was primarily sexually immorality. It went on in every description you could think about. And then, of course, to me, the coup de grace of that whole thing was child sacrifice. It's amazing to me that false gods want us to kill our children. and sacrifice to them. The true and the living God becomes the sacrifice for us. It's amazing, isn't it? God continually warned Israel that the Canaanite gods were a snare that would lead them into false worship, and in leading them false worship, to death. Eternal separation from the true and living God. The Apostle Paul makes it clear that these false gods all these idols were really, listen, they were demonic. And thus prohibited Christians from worshiping them at all. Three times Jesus calls Satan the prince of the power of this world. Over in John chapter 14, he says the ruler of the world is coming. Over in Matthew, after the temptations in the wilderness, Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship." And so it's an imperative for us to understand that we're monotheistic, one God. One God, as I said, I think it was 2 weeks ago, who expresses himself in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. C.S. Lewis cautioned us in one of his books. He said, there are two equal and opposite eras unto which our human race falls into about devils and demons. One is disbelief. Don't even believe that there exists whatsoever. The other is to believe and to feel excessively, he says, unhealthy interest in them. And you know, I find that to be true. Most of the time, my little bit of experience that I've had with those kind of things is when somebody talks to me about this, I find out that they began to dabble in this, and then they began to go here, and then they began to go there, and it just increased and increased. And finally, the reason why they're coming to me is they're scared to death. That evil has become so apparent and so strong and so real in their life. They're literally afraid to close their eyes and go to sleep. I remember talking to that one girl. She hadn't slept in over 10 days. Unbelievable, isn't it? Well, the great Apostle Paul says, now listen, these idols, these false gods, idols, they can't see, they can't hear, none of that kind of thing. But what they represent are demonic powers. And so the Apostle Paul tells us the glorious truth of God in Christ over in 2 Corinthians. He says, but if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds to see and believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. First Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfastly in the faith. Your devil like a roaring lion. You know why lions roar? They have no fear of anything. That doesn't mean things can't kill them, but they have no fear of anything. Jesus said again in John chapter 8, you are of your father, the devil, and you're will is to do the Father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, as does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Lots of times people ask you, how did this happen? How did those kind of things? Every now and then the Bible gives us hints to things. That's how lying came about. There's a father of lies, the guy who originally did that. The Apostle John gives us another clue over in Revelation 12, 9. He says, and that great dragon was cast out. Cast out from where? From heaven. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Back in verse 7, it says, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Revelation 12, 8 says, and the devil prevailed not, neither was there place found for him anymore in heaven. You know, John was telling us a couple of important things. First of all, there was a war in heaven at one time. Did you know that? Yeah. We don't think about that very much, but that's what he's telling us. Good and godly angels against angels that have become demonic. And they were fighting. And that was, they were under the auspices of Satan. And they lost. And they were kicked out of heaven. Aren't you glad? But they got kicked out of heaven and they came to earth and they're mad. And so the battle came to earth. This beautiful, wet, blue, sparkling planet there that's spinning in space has become a war zone. We think, well, yeah, there's wars and rumors of wars all over the place. There's wars all the time. Yeah, that's true. But there's a spiritual war going on all the time, 24/7, every day, every moment. This spiritual war is going on in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. The forces of evil want us to turn away from God, his values, and embrace ungodly values. I don't know about you, but I think to myself as I listen to the news and things like that anymore, almost, can I say over half, would I be exaggerating, of the news we hear is ungodly stuff. I tell you what, ladies, gentlemen, I cannot understand anybody who would walk around with a sign and say, I have the privilege to kill my baby. I don't get it. That's murder. I don't care what you call it. It's murder. And they seem to think it's their right to do that. It's horrible, isn't it? Well, we live in a fallen world and we're in a battle. That's what that's going on there. And they're trying to recruit to their side. And of course, God is saying, resist, resist, stand tall, stand for the truth, proclaim the truth, be a witness for me in this world. That's what we're supposed to be. You know, there's an old song that challenges us. I always loved this old song when I was younger. It says, rise up, O men of God. Rise up, O saints of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to what? To serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God. Rise up, O women of God. We need to rise up, take our places once more in the pantheon of the heroes of faith, and stand for the godly principles, which are the biblical principles, and stand for God, and do not waver, and do not back up, and do not surrender. And we need, we're the last defense. We're the last witness for God in this world. Give heart and mind and soul to serve the King of Kings. Another basic the faith is making disciples. That's what we're going to look at briefly this morning. This is what we're supposed to be doing. It is a divine imperative. We see Jesus saying that over there in Matthew 28. It's an imperative. If it's an imperative, is that something you can negotiate? Well, let me just see. I think, no, it's an imperative. You must do it. A disciple is first and foremost someone who's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in their own heart and their own mind. There's no imperative to unbelievers to talk about God. They wouldn't know how to do it to begin with. Matthew 28, Jesus directly commissions the apostles, the disciples, to go into all nations and make disciples. This task may seem to be almost unattainable. It's a daunting task, isn't it? But God knows what we need. And I believe that God will furnish all we need. There is, in that opening verse of Jeremiah, a very interesting thing. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before you were born, I knew you. I set you apart to be a prophet to the nations. That's what God is talking to Jeremiah about. Jeremiah said, verse 6, behold, I cannot speak before because I am a child. I think that's what we always say. God says, hey, you, Taylor, stand up, man. I want you to go for me. And I don't know the Taylor. I think Taylor was the exact opposite. Let's go, let's go, let's go. But lots of us say, well, Lord, I can't do that. I've got too much going on. I'm an old geezer, or I can't do this, or can't. We all make all kinds of excuses. But Jeremiah says in verse 6, I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak because I'm a child. We say, well, we just can't do this. We don't have the resources. We don't have the intellect. We don't have the vocabulary. We don't have the things. Listen, whatever things that we need, God will furnish them if we'll go. Jeremiah was saying to the Lord that you've got the wrong guy. Isn't that what he's trying to say? Search somebody else. Talk to somebody else. I can't do this. Isn't that what we all say? I don't know, Lord. Somebody says, boy, we need a fifth grade Sunday school teacher. And we go and ask somebody, I don't think I can do that. You know, I've had three kids and I raised them all, and I don't want to get in the business of raising somebody else's kids. Why not? Wasn't it a privilege to do that? Wasn't it fun? Oh, fun, hard, like thought. Listen, it's a wonderful thing to be able to serve the Lord. Jeremiah was saying, I can't do that. And that's what we still say. We can't. We're not able. Pick somebody else. But over in verse 4, it says this. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. Don't say that. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So the Lord is saying, listen, I'll give you what you need to say when you need to say it. What we like to have is a little script. Okay, let's see what's going to do today. All right, let's see. I'll go over there and eat some breakfast. Oh, wait a second. This says that the waitress that's going to serve me breakfast needs to know Jesus. All right, let's go to McDonald's. Let's get something over there. Isn't that what we do? Now listen, but here's the main problem. And the Lord knows this. In verse 8, I love this little verse because it's so graphic. He says, be not afraid of their faces, for I will deliver them, saith the Lord. Don't be afraid of their faces. Have you ever been in that situation? I have. I'd be dead by now if looks could kill, I'd be dead, no doubt about it. I remember years and years ago, this one young lady stopped me over there on the other side, and she just said, I've got three or four things to say to you. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm listening to her, and I thought to myself, I hear your words, but if looks could kill, I wouldn't be listening to the second or the third or the fourth. Because they were daggers there, man, I'm telling you. Wow. Am I still alive? I think so. Maybe not for long, but I think so. Looks can't kill. They just scare us to death. Be not afraid of their faces, God says. Don't worry about what these people think. Don't worry about how they're talking to you. Don't worry about how terrible daggers they have in their disposition and their mind and their heart to you. When God calls Moses, what did Moses say? Moses. Who's Moses? First five books, isn't it? First five books. What are those books again? We were studying that a little bit. Barry, is Genesis? Something like that? Exodus? Is it Numbers? Leviticus, Numbers. And then Deuteronomy. So Moses wrote those first five books. When God calls Moses, Moses said, nope, not me, Lord. I just don't have the skill. My brother, though, talked to Aaron. He's the talker in our family. Lord, I can't talk. Friends, listen, we're all in that situation. We all, until we are faced with and into a situation and doing it, we'll never know that we can do it. I remember when I was in high school, it was a shop class, and there were a couple of things we were supposed to make. But I was so terrible at this that the shop teacher finally told me, listen, try to make a box for your mother to put recipes in. Okay. I forget what are some of the bigger note cards? What are they, 5x9 or something like that? Whatever, and they get smaller, don't they? Well, I'd bring the box to him. He'd put the square on it. You need to square that up. You know how you have to square something up? You got to remove something. My box got littler. And littler. And finally he said, stop, don't do any more. I'm not going to put the square on it. Give it to your mother while you can. Well, that's the way we think of ourselves. Listen, don't be afraid of the task. Yeah, it's something I still got all my fingers. I used to know a guy, he was a woodworking guy, and he told me that when you go like this, that shows you're a woodworker. You know what that means? You cut a finger off. I got mine. My box was small, but I still got all my fingers, you know. Listen, we can do what we need to do. It might not be what you think you can do, but it will be what God asks you to do. Don't be afraid. When God calls Moses, he said, I can't do it. Friends, we're all afraid. Jeremiah was afraid. Moses was afraid. When you are called to say something, it's not uncommon to think we cannot do that. The difference is that God went with Jeremiah. The difference is, and the difference maker was that God went with Moses. The difference is, and it will be the same way in your life, is that God, if he commissions you and sends you, he will what? Go with you. He doesn't leave you by yourself. He'll go with you. Joshua needed this word. Over in the first chapter of Joshua, God tells Joshua to go over Jordan, and he tells him what? Be strong and of good courage. Joshua, don't be afraid of their faces. Have you read that chapter before? Dennis, what happens later on in that chapter? He says it again, doesn't he? Only be strong and of good courage. Joshua, will be strong, be good courage. Only be strong and good courage. I'm going with you. Joshua, we're going to go over. You know, you're taking Moses' spot. You're going to do it. You're fine. We're going to cross over that river. Matter of fact, when you get over there to Jericho, we're going to march around that place, and you're going to blow the ram's horn. The people are going to shout, and the walls are going to what? Come tumbling down. Woo! When that happened, all Cana was terrified of Israel. Did you know that? The Bible tells us that. Listen, only be strong of good courage. Wait, no, he's not done. Verse 9, be strong and have good courage. He tells Joshua, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Don't think that this is too big a problem. For the Lord your God is with thee, and wherever else you go, there he will go also. I'm going with you. Three times, God tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. That's what he's saying. Don't be afraid. I'm going with you. I'm going with you. Have you ever been to a situation and things like that, that you were reluctant, you were afraid? I've been that way. I remember that we went over to Potosa one time. My wife and I were talking about this. Potosa, Missouri, for those Missouri people, you know where that is, Kim? You know where that is, Ron? It's kind of by Farmington a little bit. Farmington? Okay. Farmington is a little bigger town. Potosa used to be the kind of the place to go, though, if you were looking for shoes and things like that. And we were going to go over there because I had saw a commercial on television about Red Ball Kids. I've told you about this before. I saw that on television, and I thought, Red Ball kids, because it's getting close to school. So part of the deal was I'd get a couple pair of blue jeans, and I'd get a pair of new shoes and things like that. And so I wanted Red Ball kids, and so my mom took me over to Potosa. Potosa is like, what's that Michigan place up there that got sidewalks that go up and down, up and down, up and down? It's kind of like that. You walk 40 miles to go 50 feet, and we walked all over town, finally found a pair of Red Ball kids. Wow. I couldn't hardly wait to get home. Got home to my grandmother's farm, took those shoes out, put them on my feet. I started running all over the farm, jumping ditches, running up and down, doing all kinds of things. Hey, I'm not any faster than I was a while ago. I can't jump any higher than I did a while ago. Listen, that stuff will always disappoint you. That's all there is to it. There's somebody getting paid big money to deceive you to buy Red Ball kids. You know that? Yeah. But God doesn't have a PR guy. When he promises you something, he goes with you, and you can do it. Paul tells us that God is not against this. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't make any difference what our sin is. God says, if you do this, I'll do that. Again, Paul says this is a very important truth. Over in Ephesians, he says, 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved, what? Through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift to God, not of works, lest any man might boast. Aren't you glad that God keeps his promises? Because that's the promise of salvation for all men. If you're a believer here this morning, God has made you a promise that he's going to go with you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's always going to be right there because you're his Jeremiah. You're his Joshua. You're thinking to yourself, not me, not me. I know what you're saying. He's going to go with us just like those people. Peter says over there that we're a chosen generation. That's pretty cool. We said that in Sunday school this morning. What was Israel supposed to be when God called them? A nation of priests. Not just the Levites, but the whole nation. They were supposed to be God's sign to the whole world, the people of Israel. They didn't do a very good job of it a lot of times, but that's what they were supposed to be. Peter then says to us, he says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and obviously he was talking about Baptists then, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God is. Those who come to God must believe he is. You come to God by faith, and God will answer, and he will show you himself, and he'll prove himself to you over and over and over and over again. God is a God of miracles. We're a skeptical society. We don't believe in anything. But God is a God of miracles. Listen. Oh, please don't do that. Isn't this cool? Got a brand new Bible. I laid it over there. laid it there by Gary and couldn't find it there for a while this morning. My old blue one was getting kind of tore up, wasn't it? Todd gave me this, my son Todd, for Father's Day. So, wow, you know, I got to get used to that one. Yeah, look for that thing. All right. And of course, I have some special needs. It doesn't have to be in Braille, but almost. It needs to be extra giant print, and it needs to be dark, even with these on. There we go. All right. Listen. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's made us his royal ambassadors. Jesus said that, listen, you guys, you're my disciples. Take the truth with you wherever you're going. That's what the Great Commission is talking about. Make disciples of all nations, everybody you run into. You don't have to say, I wonder if God wants these people to be saved. God wants everybody to be saved. You don't have to worry about that. And God will open the door to you and for you if you'll allow him to do that. So we need to recognize that God is a God of miracles, but God is a God who calls us to be makers of disciples. Get that word out, that word out, that word out about who Jesus is. He's Lord of life. And place your faith and trust in him, and you become part of God's forever family. Isn't that marvelous? But we're also, how do we do that? How do we make disciples? Well, we worship. Did you know we need to worship as God's people? We can't not do that. If we do that, we starve our spirit to death. So we need to worship. We need to instruct. That's why we have a Sunday school here in the morning. We study the Bible for every age. Did you know that? For the old geezers and the young babies. Start them out teaching them the Word of God. We get stronger as we grow in the Lord. So we need to get in the Bible. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs right, read and say that Paul says. That be not shame, 2 Timothy. Worship, instruction, fellowship. You know, it's good for us to get together, worship, Bible study, and in that you have fellowship. And you, like iron sharpens iron, we help each other to grow. And when we worship, when we learn, when we fellowship, then we want to share the faith. We want to, and we can. God's going to give us an opportunity this week. If you live long enough throughout the whole week, he's going to give you an opportunity to worship him. You might want to read your Bible every day. That would be some instructions you could get in your home, by yourself in that sense. Fellowship. There's a Wednesday night prayer meeting right over there on the other side of the building. Good stuff. We pray for people. And when you do those kind of things, then you'll have a heart for people around you that do not know Jesus. Did you know that? You'll start thinking about them. You'll start praying for them. You'll start looking for opportunities to share with them the gospel. And you know what you're doing. You're sharing the most costly treasure in all the world when you share Jesus with somebody else. We're to make disciples of people just like us. Yeah? Everybody. Everybody. Doesn't make any difference what color you are. Doesn't make any difference what kind of educational background you are. Doesn't make any difference what kind of language you speak. Everybody. God wants his truth to go throughout the whole world. Father, thank you for who you are and what you're about. Lord, your word gives us so much insight. Our biggest problem is that we're afraid of people's faces. We're afraid they'll frown at us. We're afraid that they will not acknowledge. We're afraid. But you said, be of good courage. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. Lord, as we go from this place today, this afternoon, we're here. We've been in worship, and if we were here this morning in Bible study, instruction, we have come to lift up Jesus. We've opened your word, looked some passages this morning that are relevant to our growth and our commission. Help us to be a people ready, willing, because we are able to do all that we're supposed to do and give you the glory. Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning who's never embraced Christ. They may have been thinking about it. Maybe your Holy Spirit's been drawing them and pricking their hearts. Lord, if that's the case today, at this invitation moment, let them step out for you and come up and say, Pastor Mike, I want Jesus in my heart. We'll pray and God will answer that prayer right here this morning. He can do it. Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning that just needs to recognize that in all the struggles of life, you're still with them. Whether it be a health issue, whether it be financial, whether it be family relationships, whatever it is, Lord, you're right there with them. And we want to thank you for who Jesus is. We lift up this prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's sing our song of invitation. You have something to make public this morning, you come. Don't hesitate. Don't delay.
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh speak.
Reaching for his glasses. No, actually, I'm farsighted. I could see that perfectly. They're trying to get the letters as big as the whole screen, but nevertheless, thank you. Thank you. Amen, amen. Good to see you this morning. Let's all stand together, and we'll close this morning. Father, thank you for who you are and what you're about. As we go from this place today, help us to recognize we're your royal ambassadors. Help us to be that witness for you in all, in our own families, in all that we touch. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hey, how about turn that right or left and say good morning to a neighbor? I don't think...